Sunday Reel on the weekend. And we're here with, actually, I think we talked to her last year, the year before then, that Marina Zenovich, who's been at a Sundance veteran, I guess, says she's done films about Robin Williams and Water and Power in California, Richard Pryor, Roman Polanski. And you've got a 3.5-hour film on Lance Armstrong. I guess this is for TV or streaming?
Actually, it's a 3-hour, 20-minute film, like The Irishman, I hear. But someone just told me it was better than The Irishman. I don't know.
Was that person related to you?
No, actually. Someone who works here.
It's Scorsese length.
Yes, it's a film in two parts. It's going to be on ESPN. It was produced by ESPN. We might do some sort of limited theatrical.
It's sort of like The Irishman, except Lance Armstrong isn't as open about what he did wrong. Or should we? Or is that accurate?
I don't know. You tell me.
Okay,
let's
step back a second. Why did you want to look at Lance Armstrong? And why did he want to get in front of a camera again?
Yeah, well, I mean, you start out with raising that very question. Some people said Marina, you know, the guy is trying to get his ticket back to redemption or forgiveness or something by sitting down with you for this whole project.
Yeah, I mean, you know, ESPN came to me. I had made a film about the Duke lacrosse scandal for them, and they were looking to work with me again. And they suggested a film on Lance Armstrong. And, you know, my husband would say I make films about complicated men. So what can I say? I mean, I wanted to try to, I'm just interested in the human psyche and how we view ourselves and how people process what they've been through. And if he was willing to go there, I was willing to try to lead him there. And he was, but it, you know, it was a bit of a cat and mouse game. But this is like gold for me, like trying to get someone, anyone, to talk about themselves and what they've, the mistakes they've made and how they're trying to process.
He talks about a lot. Were there any conditions? Was that a negotiation when you approached him?
No.
How does that work?
Well, I met him 2 years ago. I went to meet him face to face to, you know, not that he had any approval, but just to kind of see, you know, who are you? What are you about? Mm-hmm. We talked very candidly. He opened his life up to me. I don't really know why. I don't know why now. I was just trying to get him to tell me what he had experienced, where he, you know, it's been, 7 years since everything went down. So there were no conditions. I mean, were there unspoken conditions? Like, okay, I'm going to interview you for 45 minutes. I mean, one of the first interviews I did with him, you know, he was always looking at his watch. And at a certain point, he's like, okay, you have 10 minutes left. And I was like, well, what was great about this was I could be so honest. I was like, well, I'm not going to ask you about cancer if you're giving me 10 minutes. I mean, I'm not going to ask you about the most difficult thing in your life. So I'm like, shit, what am I going to ask him about to try to get him?
This is your type.
Right. It was funny at that particular.
I believe that was a spontaneous utterance, which of course would not get us shut down.
Look,
okay,
good.
Good.
It's good to have a film director who's as honest about her vocabulary as Lance is about.
Sorry,
his.
Mom.
Shite. Sorry.
Anyway, so he would shut me down or try to shut me down. But there was a game. It was very hard to end this project because I loved trying to get him to open up. And he was, as much as he didn't like it, he was willing to go there, I thought. You know, but not everything. I mean, there are things that are off limits. People can come in here and tell you I got the whole story. But people withhold. that's as documentary filmmakers, we are trying to get more constantly. So in that moment when he told me you have 10 minutes, I said, I'm not going to ask you about cancer. I asked him about Jan Ullrich, a cyclist who's gone through some troubles. Right. And that's when he told me like the biggest emotional story that's when I got him more emotional than ever. So it's kind of like it's you never really know what you're getting when people are withholding. They're not. It's such a fun game.
If we can call it a game, it's also every time you revisit the story of doping, you find out more. And
right.
You find out the spread of the emotional ravage that it brought at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, one of the great moments in the film, you know, it's hard to believe that, and someone says it, that a secret so big wouldn't come out at some point. And someone talks about when he finally told the truth, how it was like unleashing all this darkness that he had been lying about. That's not Lance, that's Tyler Hamilton talking. But, you know, it was fascinating to hear the stories of these people trying to win and what it took. And, you know, a lot of people were doping. Then some people will say, well, Lance Armstrong is making excuses for himself. But a lot of people were doping based on the people I interviewed. So I interviewed people who doped and people who didn't. And you decide.
I mean, logistically, were you doing all the time with Lance Armstrong and the interviews and doing that first and then going to the other people and getting their reactions and their stories, or going back and forth between the two planes?
Going back and forth. I mean, we were shooting Verite with Lance, following him in whatever he was doing that seemed compelling. Then I did 8 interviews with him over a period of, I think, like 18 months. And then traveled, my God, we went all over, England, Germany, France, all over the States, interviewing different cyclists. And, you know, it's all a process of trying to get people to talk to you. Then you get there and hopefully they are willing to open up.
So do you see a parallel? I mean, he defeated cancer. He did have a great career as a cyclist. Does he believe that this is another goal that he can reach, getting his reputation back? Do you think that's...
I don't know.
Is there a parallel to you know, reaching the next threshold in athletic achievement in that way?
Well, is that an athletic achievement?
I mean the parallel to it.
Sorry. Yeah. Probably, but you'd have to ask him. I mean... I think he has spent a lot of time in therapy and processed everything. I mean, that was really interesting to see the people who had processed, those who let go, those who are still angry, those who feel they still are owed an apology by him, to just kind of see how different humans process different things. I think for Lance, you know, he's young. He's not even 50. So he's... you know, trying to move forward. And sure, I mean, who doesn't want their reputation back?
What does he do?
So he has 2 podcasts, but one of them is an extremely popular podcast called The Move. I think it was like one of the top rated podcasts during the Tour de France. So, and actually last... July, NBC brought him back to be a commentator. So I think he appeared a couple of times. So he's doing that. He's running various marathons and what have you. And, you know, but he's become, I think they're the lovers and the haters. And it was fascinating to kind of go between the both worlds. But he is moving forward and trying to move ahead.
So look, you've dealt with difficult, made films about difficult men. Rick didn't mention the Roman Polanski movie, which I loved.
Thank you.
What's unique about Lance? What did you find? What distinguishes him from these other men? Prominent, difficult, charismatic whom you've made films about?
Interesting. I mean, they're all so different. Lance is, he's inspiring. Let's take away the bullying and the lying, okay? Because can you be both? You know, I mean, he wasn't bullying me. So that's, I'd be coming from a different place if I was someone who he had bullied. He wasn't, was he trying to win me over? Yes. What is Lance? Lance is a bundle of energy. He's willing to kind of go there. I found him very likable. But I have to say that in this day and age, knowing it, there's not just that. There's the other side as well. But the positive attributes of this human being is he has a lot of fun. He's energetic. He has that athletic kind of prowess. He's quick. He's funny. He's interesting. He's compelling. I mean, it was fun making this movie. It was really fun, but there is the other side, which I didn't experience. So I had to take in both sides and try to color how we crafted the film accordingly.
Well, part of the other side is his peers. You know, that whole thing. How is he viewed by his peers now? How is he viewed by cyclists now? Do cyclists look up to him in any way still?
I really don't know. I think it's cyclist by cyclist. I think he has his fans. I know in the cycling world, I think his podcast is incredibly popular because he knows what he's talking about and he's lived it. So he does it with George Hincappy and it's very popular. He has another podcast where he interviews people, but the cycling one is the one where he's kind of making his name again as some sort of announcer.
So you have great archival footage here. How much of that did you go through to make the film? You must have had endless hours of...
A lot of hours of cycling. You know, I mean, you're always with archival looking for moments that really show the true kind of essence and character of someone. So I can see archival. I mean, and Lance has been filmed since he was a teenager because he was a phenomenon when he was younger as a swimmer and then a cyclist and he ran, did triathlons. But anyway, so you're always just looking for the essence of who this person is. And it's fascinating to see that he was always who he was.
Well, the one thing that I remember about his appeal was that the U.S. Postal Service didn't it have a $40 million campaign around him?
I don't know the number, but a lot. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll end up with what the Postal Service may have put into a Lance Armstrong campaign.
Somebody can tweet it. Thank you.
Yeah, exactly.
Because there are so many experts
sure
out there.
You guys know.
Okay. And audiences will get their, Park City, you have one shot on Monday at the Mark Theater in Park City. And if you miss that, next Saturday down at the Rose Wadner Center in Salt Lake.
Yes.
Okay. And Marina will be fascinated to see who you come back with next year.
Oh, thank you.
So with Lance. And thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Tune in and find out about some of the unknown and talented independent filmmakers from around the world. Join us for the Sundance Reel each weekday morning between 9 and 10. We'll highlight some of the most intriguing films being presented at this year's Sundance Film Festival. That's the Sundance Reel weekday mornings from 9 to 10 through January 31st, right here on KPCW or online kpcw.org.
The Sundance Reel is brought to you in part by Sundance Institute, presenting the 2020 Sundance Film Festival from January 23rd through February 2nd. And Acura, proud 10-year sponsor of the festival and supporter of independent film and music. Learn more at Acura.com.